The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show,
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo 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 yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday.
Let me get this high chair. Hold on.
You need a high chair?
You got a little booster chair. You got a little good, little high over there.
Yeah, I can't be 5'6" and sitting in a low chair.
Woo.
Got yourself together.
Ah, here we go.
What up, Yee? Yes. I see you was at the movies last night, Yee.
Oh, yeah, I saw the movie Warcraft. You know that comes out tomorrow.
Have you ever played the video game?
Yes, World of Warcraft.
Uh-huh.
And so I was hosting a Q&A with Paula Patton after the movie because she stars in it.
She got a man yet?
We're talking about her movie, her acting.
Oh.
What is wrong with you, Envy?
Don't nobody ask about what your actual craft is. People want to know what's up with her and Robin Thicke.
She got a man.
Her movie ain't going to get her on the Shade Room. Her baller alert. You better find out if she's dating somebody.
She did break down and start crying during the Q&A.
About what?
Well, I guess if you...
I would have cried, too, if Robin Thicke named the whack-ass album after me. He named the whole album after her.
Well, listen,
Paula
Patton. Wait,
time. Hold on a second. You got to lower your seat. Now you're too high.
No, I'm not.
Before you was too low.
Sorry.
Now you're too high.
Sorry.
He's too high.
I'm looking down upon
y'all. He's sitting over us now. I got to put my seat
high.
He's
like on a bar stool.
I'm looking down upon y'all.
I put my seat higher now. All right, go ahead, Yee.
Yeah, so I guess it was first of all, the movie was really good. I enjoyed it. And by the way, it broke all kinds of records in China already.
Did it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like
it
the highest grossing movie there ever.
One of the most popping video games ever.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like it's going to do too well here in the United States, by the way.
When's it come out? Tomorrow?
Friday. Yeah, tomorrow. Friday. But anyway.
I didn't know if it's going to do well or not.
Because they can predict by pre-sales. Just like in China, I think it did like 20 million in pre-sales alone.
Well, they made their money. They made their money. They don't care
about
that.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Internationally.
So why she cry?
All right, so it's a different type of movie for her, obviously. She said she was working out twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing all these protein shakes. She was scared because she never did a role like this before. And in the middle of filming all of this, she was going through her divorce.
Oh.
So it was just tough for her, I guess, mentally, and then tough for her physically.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just scared.
Did you ask how she felt about Robin Thicke's whack-ass album that was named after her?
It was only about...
I would cry, too.
The movie.
Does she have a new man now or no?
I don't know. Goodness. When did you become me?
I ain't gonna lie. You sound like a little gossip girl.
Me? And you wanted to know about how she felt about his thing?
That's different.
No, it's not.
How did you feel about somebody naming a whack-ass album after you as opposed to who you dating? That's gossip girl.
Did you listen to the whole album?
Yes, I did. Of course I did. That was a follow-up to Blurred Lines. Why wouldn't I listen to that?
He had like two songs on there I liked, though.
It was all right.
All right, but actually, I'm gonna have some audio for y'all from that, though, because... Yeah, just so you can hear what went down. But I would say it was a great movie. We had the little 3D glasses and everything.
Dope.
I probably would have never went to go see it if I didn't host it, but I did enjoy it a lot. My friends that were with me were really good.
Hate 3D glasses, by the way. Because 3D movies aren't what they used to be. 3D movies, the stuff used to come at you off the screen.
Right.
And plus, the glasses is just a distraction on my face. If I can go see the standard film, I'm going to see the standard film. I hate 3D glasses.
No, they got some dope 3D movies now.
They got
3D TVs now that is really interactive, really dope.
So I got to wear 3D glasses in my living room?
Yeah,
yes.
Hell no. What the hell would I want that type of inconvenience
for? I mean, you can change it from 3D back to regular.
Yeah, you can go back and forth.
No, I'm cool on that.
Now, also, Dr. Boyce Watkins will be joining us this morning.
My man, Dr. Boyce, knowing that brother for a decade or better now.
We're trying to get you okay out there as far as your finances are concerned. So he'll help you with investing and talk about a whole bunch of things. So keep it locked. Let's get the show cracking. Front page news. What are we talking about, Yeezy?
Yes, Hillary Clinton is trying to figure out who is going to be vice president, her candidate to be vice president. So I want to hear your thoughts on who you think she should choose.
Kanye.
Man, shut your ass up.
Front page news when we come back. It's work. It's Rihanna. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Rihanna with Work, Work, Work. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We're at The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, the NBA Finals, the Cavs beat the Warriors last night, 120-90. Now, game four is tomorrow night on ABC.
Hey, I told y'all, Warriors in five. Wasn't a surprise to me last night.
I still think the Cavs are going to take it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Absolutely.
So they're going to win fourth straight, is what you're telling me.
Could be done.
No.
Why can't it?
Warriors in five.
No, I think the Cavs will get it.
Now let's talk about, you really don't believe that.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do. Now let's talk about Hillary Clinton.
Yes, Hillary Clinton is now starting her search for who will be her vice presidential running mate.
She need to pick another woman or a Latino. That's what she need to do.
She said she is looking at women. She's just looking for whoever is the most qualified person. Here's what she had to say.
I'm looking at the most qualified people, and that includes women, of course, because I want to be sure that whoever I pick could be president immediately if something were to happen. That's the most important qualification. There are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who bring so many great assets to the table. But it doesn't matter to me who the person is, as long as that person can really do the job that is required.
I'm all for the diversity of the ticket. I think she should go grab Elizabeth Warren or Julian Castro from San Antonio.
Well, she also said she believes a lot of Senator Sanders supporters will join us in making sure Donald Trump doesn't get anywhere near the White House.
You got to put Bernie on the team, too, though. I don't know if Bernie...
I said the same thing.
I don't know if he should be VP, but he should definitely be on the team in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely be on the team.
Vice President, they would be unstoppable.
Now, let's talk about this flooding throughout the country.
Right. Well, they're saying El Nino and a rising sea levels linked to global warming are spurring a record number of days of nuisance flooding.
El Nino still around?
El Nino. Well, that was in the last year, what they're saying, in seven different coastal cities.
Is El Nino like the Pope? Is there like a new one every time something like this happens?
Yeah, I thought they changed the name every one. No.
El Nino was the 90s, right?
El Nino.
Yeah. El Nino. Maybe El Nino is like the Pope, yo. Maybe it's the same name, just different.
Well, some of those places that recorded an all-time high, Wilmington, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, Key West, Florida, all of those places, Annapolis, Maryland, Washington, D.C., all of them have record highs. So.
Man. Record high what?
Of flooding.
Oh.
Okay, there you have it. And let's talk about your guy, Brock Turner, who you gave Donkey of the Day to.
That rapist.
Yes.
Call him what he is.
Former Stanford student. He was sentenced to 6 months in county jail for sexually assaulting an unconscious...
No, he raped...
intoxicated
woman.
Yes. Now, part of his defense was that he was drinking and using drugs, and he just wasn't used to that. He's not that type of person. Well, it turns out, after they searched his cell phone, he is that type of person. Mm. All right, he had blamed his behavior on alcohol and the college lifestyle. He says he hadn't had much experience with partying and drinking prior to this sex assault. And according to cell phone evidence, there's photos of him smoking a pipe. There's photos of him smoking a bong, drinking out of a liquor bottle immediately after. And there's text messages where he's saying, do you think I could buy some wax so we could do some dabs? Other text messages reference smoking, buying and sharing weed, trying to find a hookup to buy acid, all of those things. So clearly, he lied.
I didn't know they found him on top of the woman either. They said they found him on top of the woman and they had to chase him down.
Yes. I think it was like a biker, somebody who was like riding a bike or something like that.
My goodness.
All right, and the judge, by the way, is getting all kinds of death threats. The judge in this case.
Okay, I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. When you let a man off for rape, and then you say that the reason you let him off for rape is because you don't want it to have any lasting effects on him.
That sounds crazy.
Okay, like it's not lasting effects on the victim. What you think? Every woman in America is probably telling the judge they're going to kill him.
All right, well, that's front page news. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, whatever it may be. If you just need to vent, get things off your mind so you can have a great day today, call us up
right
now.
Get it off your chest.
800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is Mad Rapper. Good morning, yo, for real. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, for real, man. Hey, yo, my girl keep coming home smelling like Polo Cologne. So, like that ain't for girls. Like, I know something's going on, for real. Like I'm heated about that. And now I need y'all to tell me why y'all mad. Why you mad? On The Breakfast Club, for real.
Hi, this is Strawberry. I'm mad because this whole transgender thing. They're mad because people can't accept. It's not that they don't accept you guys. It's just the stuff that they do. It's got to be so overtime. It's like they want the bathrooms so the men can be able to go in the women's. No, that's stupid. No, it's stupid. You was born with a... You go
through
the boy's bathroom.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Slow down.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm sorry. I'm just so angry about it. Then I watched that Lemon Hip Hop or whatever, and she was mad at Waka Flocka because he
transgender.
That's his opinion.
Now, what if you were born with a penis, but you got your penis removed and you had all the surgery done to become a woman?
I wouldn't do it, but I mean, that's people's business.
So then should you use the men's bathroom still? Because you said whatever you were born with.
Okay, what I'm saying, say if they got it cut off, fine. Take your butt to the woman's bathroom. If you got a penis, And you want to be a girl? Don't try to go in a girl's bathroom.
Man, how would you know if somebody had a penis or not, though, if they looked like a woman?
The moral of the story is that I believe that, okay, it's your business. If you want to be gay or whatever you are, that's fine. No one cares. But don't be trying to throw it on us like we got to accept it. Don't be trying to make us agree with your lifestyle. And don't get mad because people are voicing their opinion about it.
You have the right to that opinion. Absolutely.
And then, because they act so abnormal. They'll go to the mall and be kissing with their hands in each other's back pocket like that's normal. You don't think you have all such weird people
walk around
like that?
You sound jealous. You sound like you're so mad you don't got nobody with their hand in your back pocket.
I don't even understand why it matters to us if people, what other people do, if it doesn't affect you.
I'll let her have her opinion.
Well, she's mad. Well, hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's your boy PPG, Porta Potty Guy, man.
Oh, my God.
How do you always get through the phone lines in the morning, Porta Potty Guy?
And I'm going to tell you something.
Love is love, man, and I love calling you guys, man, in the morning. And plus, Charlamagne, stop talking about the cast, bro.
Going to be Warriors in five, but you need to start saying your name faster. Don't call up and talk about, hey, this PP, and then pause and then say guy, okay?
Okay. Listen, man.
And who wants to be PP guy?
He's Porta Potty.
You want to be PP guy? You went to bed?
But listen, man, let me tell you why I'm mad, though.
Why? Yes, PP guy.
So yesterday I went out to Longhorn to go eat, right?
Texas Longhorn.
So, in my mind, I'm like, yo, you know, I'm going to spend like $60, me and my shorty.
Right.
When the bill came, Envy, it was like $92, man. I looked at my shorty, I was like, damn, you going to go ahead for this?
Y'all should have went to Olive Garden.
What you buy, man? You buy
I just went to Olive Garden. So good.
Yo, she had like baby back ribs. I had the salmon.
I want my
we
baby
went
back.
In, man. Hey. He went in, but I paid $100, man. But I'm so happy.
Ballin'!
Wait. Only $100? It was $92.
So you only left an $8 tip?
Yes.
No, you're supposed to leave $18,
sir. You mad too,
man. $18 out of 92?
Yeah. It's $17 per 100.
Damn.
So that's between 15 and 20%. I usually leave 20%.
Hey, listen, man. And also, I want to be done with the program, too, man.
Not the way you tip.
Come on, man. I'm like 6'3", 280 pounds, man. Help a brother out here.
You left an $8 tip, sir.
Nah, we can't mess with you, man. You cheapo.
That's not even 10%.
El cheapo.
Porta potty. What porta potty can you fit in at 280 pounds?
Yo, I'm a 6'3 guy, man.
And you can fit in the porta potty at 6'3", 280?
The big and tall porta potty.
800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yo, good morning, yo. This is the mad rapper, son, for real. I'm mad, I stay angry, I stay heated, I stay pissed off. Tell him why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
DJ Envy, my boy Charla in there, right?
Yep.
Yes, I'm right here, sir.
Charla, man, I'm mad about the NBA Finals last night. Before I went to work, you know, I got a little local job that I work overnight, and I was watching that game, and it just looked like the NBA is just set up for failure, and they trying to make more money. Like, Klay Thompson, he shot the ball, then he missed a shot, then he shot two free throws, got the rebound, shot a three, and missed it. And I'm like, what's going on?
He's not going to make every shot now.
You know, the thing that kills me about y'all, when y'all say the NBA is rigged, it's like, how do you rig a basket going through the hoop? It either goes in or it doesn't.
I don't think that it's rigged. I just think that it's just kind of set up to where they're trying to make more money to keep people watching.
That would be rigged.
These are professional basketball players who get paid millions of dollars, okay? Any given night, it can go any given way. I guess it's that simple.
Hello?
My name is Gaviana.
Tell them why you're mad.
I hate when people can never make promises they can't keep.
Okay. Talk to me. Who told you that they could make you orgasm?
Can never make promises or always make promises they can't keep.
She did a negative.
Like, let's just say, okay, I have this booking agent, right? Mm-hmm. And he said he can get me shows and whatnot.
Booking for what, girl? Booking for what?
She's a singer.
You got 1,000 followers on Instagram. Now you got a booking agent?
I sing.
Let me hear you sing. Sing something.
Okay. Have you felt so alone that you're purposely isolated? They play without you, and they know
pretty good.
That you
go ahead, Charlamagne. Go say something rude.
She
sounds like 1,000 other singers I've heard, but she decent.
She sounds pretty good, man.
She sounds like 1,000 other singers I've heard.
She sounds
every
okay.
Every girl, when you be like, can you sing? They go, I lost without you, and the love is dead.
You sounded very good.
You sound like 1,000 other singers I know.
He hating on you.
I'm not hating the truth.
Be mad at your booking agent. Now, what happened with your booking agent? They're supposed to get you shows, they ain't get you no shows?
Yeah, you said, like, you know how booking agents supposed to give you, like, good-ass shows, but they only can, like, book you, like, little tiny open mics and
Why would I book somebody I don't know? You should be doing those little tiny open mics
Well, yeah,
now,
that's
baby.
Actually what's going to make you get better so that you're prepared when you do have a big opportunity.
Like, what's your name? What's your name? What are you giggling at? What's your name?
My name's Kaliana.
Kaliana, never heard of you.
Now, so
what do you
expect your booking agent to do? Because you should be glad you're getting that. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, that is great. But, like, you know, sometimes I wish he can get me, like, more bigger shows. Like, maybe, like, showcase.
You should have opened up for Beyonce last night.
I'm not saying open up for Beyonce.
At least you're being realistic.
Well, honey, you got to be realistic, too, though. I mean, at this point now, if a lot of people... How many followers do you
Nobody
have?
Nobody knows you, Ma.
I mean, I know that. I'm not saying...
So how would you get booked for bigger showcases at this point? How you get on those bigger showcases is by doing these smaller open mics. Hopefully somebody there will see you and you let word of mouth spread. You post some more videos online. You get some more followers.
You got to build a fan base, mama.
Yeah, it doesn't just come that easy.
Don't go chasing big shows. Stick to the open mics in the Starbucks cafes that you're used to.
Not Starbucks cafes. Dunkin' Donuts.
You'll
cafes.
Be fine. It's all a process, boo. You're at the bottom
right
now.
It's hard work, okay?
Yeah.
And keep your legs closed and your mind open, okay?
All right. Goodbye, mama. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us at any time. Now, Yee.
Yes.
We got rumors coming up?
Yes, let's talk about a lot of things happening, like Bow Wow. He discusses losing his virginity when he was 15 to a certain video vixen. Also, Matt Barnes, he's speaking out about his altercation with Derek Fisher. Find out what he had to say.
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Roc Nation is expanding. Jay-Z has added Roc Nation Latin.
Latino.
They're going to focus on developing and cultivating Latin artists in all aspects of their careers. Now, do you know who they have named as the CEO of Roc Nation Latin?
I've heard.
OG Juan.
Romeo Santos.
Romeo Santos.
Oh. Romeo Santos. So Romeo Santos actually sent out a tweet. He said, Siempre hay espacio para seguir creciendo.
That means it's the rock, you bitches, in Spanish.
He said, there's always room for bigger things. I'm now CEO of Roc Nation Latin. Let's go.
Why is this news, though? I feel like they've been doing Latin stuff. They hadn't, wasn't Nori signed to Rockefeller at one time?
This is Roc Nation. It's not Rockefeller's not even around anymore.
Young Chris fan is right.
Hmm?
Young Chris? No, you're from Philly. Never mind.
What are you talking about right now? All right, now, I told you guys that I saw Warcraft yesterday, and I did a Q&A with Paula Patton afterward. And she talked about being scared and overcoming your fears. Now, be aware, this movie Warcraft launched in China, and in the first day of screening, it made $46 million.
Wow.
So that's huge. That's actually the highest first-day box office of any non-weekend movie in China's history. Now, here is what Paula Patton had to say about doing this movie and having to work out and do everything and just being really scared to change it up.
My best girl, right here, came. I was scared to death. And I was in this bathroom and I was like, oh my God, I don't know. She's like, girl, either you go in or not. I go 100 or not. I'll never forget the way she encouraged me to do this role. I was doing two-a-day workouts at one point, going through some of my own emotional stuff in my own personal life. And I was like, now I'm a preacher? What does that mean? Where is my career gone? I'm just confused.
So at the time that she was filming this movie, she was also going through her divorce.
Mm.
So she's saying it was a really difficult time. And I can't imagine doing two-a-day workouts. She did most of her own stunts in the movie as well.
He was married to Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke did a lot of cocaine, right? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Splurge.
Sure, you did that more than two times a day. Would working out scares you two times a day? Okay.
I mean, that's a lot, though.
And you said the movie's pretty good.
Yeah, she said she bulked up a lot first because she was doing those workouts and then drinking all these protein shakes, and she was nervous. She was like, you know, big, but then she slimmed down after that.
And you said the movie was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay.
All right, now let us talk about Bow Wow. He recently sat down with Vlad from Vlad TV, and he talked about losing his virginity when he was 15 to this woman who, by the way, might not have even known she took his virginity. Here's what he said.
What age did you start messing with women, though?
Like around 15, 16. I was nervous.
I mean, as we all were. There was, a story about Esther Baxter.
That's true.
I guess she denied it for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know why, though. She doesn't need to. It's cool, man.
Okay, so Esther Baxter was the first girl...
That was the first girl I ever had sex with. Ever in my life.
Not a bad first, right?
No. I think that she probably didn't know that she was my first.
You were 15 and she was how old?
Right at Petey Pablo, Freak League video. And, Freak League. Shake Your Tail Feather.
That video?
She was young, like 18, 19. Okay. It was like 18, 19 when we met.
I can't stand an old kiss and tell ass boy. What's the point of telling people
Let
that?
Let me ask you something. When you lost your virginity, did the girl know that you were a virgin or do you not tell?
Nah, she didn't know.
That's interesting. So you don't tell the
person. I
don't
think that's a guy. I wouldn't open up with that one. As a guy, hey, I'm a virgin. You know what I'm saying?
Women
like to tell you that because they want it to be special, but I'm not
if you guys were dating for a while and you're young, you're 15.
Hey, I'm a virgin. Be easy on me. I've never done this before. Like, stop. What the hell I look like, man? I don't understand why Bow Wow telling Vlad TV that. Like,
because Vlad asked him.
He asked him about
it. You don't got to answer. Like, that's a conversation you may have with the homies, but you don't got to put her out there like that to the media. What's the point? You 29, not 14. You don't run around telling people who you smashed.
He asked him, so he told.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have Dr. Boyce Watkins in the building. He'll help you out with all your finances. He'll teach you how to invest money, how to save money, and a host of other things. So keep it locked. You want to know how to make some extra money. You don't know what to do with your money that you have on savings. You don't know how much to save. Well, he'll tell you. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Needed Me, Riri. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
That's right, my brother.
Dr. Boyce Watkins.
What's up, Dr. Boyce?
Welcome back.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I love all you guys. I mean, you guys are amazing. I love what you're doing with this show. A hell of a business model.
Thank you, man.
Respect. Thank you.
Now, I see you weren't too happy about who they have speaking at Muhammad Ali's funeral.
Yeah. I feel like they've turned, they've taken Muhammad Ali, a strong black man, and turned him into a feminine little white boy.
Man.
You know, they've really broken him down. They have emasculated my greatest hero. Now, I take this personal because I'm from Louisville, like Ali. He's a second cousin of mine, actually, by marriage.
Oh, really?
So you know Cassius Clay.
I know a lot about the Clay family. This, you know, the stories that you hear when he's not the celebrity, he's just the guy that was down the block. You know, my grandmother went to high school with him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was my greatest hero of all time. So if you really think about it, you know, America didn't seem to love Ali until he couldn't speak anymore.
Mm.
If he had kept speaking, they wouldn't have loved him. Same thing with Dr. King. If he had kept speaking, they wouldn't have loved him.
Now, I thought he wrote this book because I was reading about that and documented exactly how he wanted his funeral to go.
Yeah, you know, I can't speak on that part. I mean, if it's his wishes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the people that love him also have some equity in terms of saying, you know, this is what Ali means to us. And so, for example, anybody who supports anything that I do, if I did something that came off as a little bit off kilter,
mm-hmm.
I would be okay with people critiquing that. You know, if I said I want Bill O'Reilly to speak at my funeral, then I would be okay if people said, you know what, we're not going to go to that thing. We're going to go to a real celebration.
But was he good friends with Bill Clinton in real life?
I'm sure he was. I mean, you know, he was a celebrity. He's friends with everybody. Everybody loved him.
Friends is a strong word.
Because they
though.
Said that was like really? A good. I mean, I didn't know that, but it said that they were great friends.
I would
friends.
Think Minister
That's why
Farrakhan,
he's giving the eulogy.
There you go.
Harry Belafonte.
Who do you think?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
See, that's the thing. Like, you got to mix it up. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you have? You had Bill Clinton and Billy Crystal and Brian Gumbel. Okay.
Brian Gumbel.
Right. I mean, you know, but to be serious, Brian Gumbel is not. You know, he's actually a pretty strong guy, but that's not what you expected at an Ali funeral. You expect those guys that were sitting next to him in the 60s when he was really
Kareem
fighting.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Kareem. Brown. Right. Yes.
There you go. Exactly.
So do we know everybody that's speaking? Because I read that they were going to be mixing it up and have people representing all different faiths.
Yeah, they were going to add in a brother that I respect out of Louisville by the name of Pastor Kevin Cosby, who actually bought an HBCU in Kentucky and
really?
Revitalized it. Yeah, became the 107th HBCU in the country, Simmons College. So he's going to be one of the speakers. But Ali was a man of the people. So there should be a celebration for the people. This is not that celebration. Also,
it's open to the public, though.
Yeah. But I would be concerned about Bill Clinton overly politicizing this.
Yeah.
Since his wife's trying to get the black vote right now.
Yeah.
And Bill Clinton is also dealing with accountability for the numbers of black men that he incarcerated back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of it. But, you know, hey, you're right. If Ali wanted it, we got to respect it. But we don't have to necessarily go along with it all.
Did you meet Muhammad Ali as a kid?
Never met him. I just grew up reading all his books.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would come home with stuff, you know, because again, we knew like people from the family,
right.
and I would read his books when I would go through adversity. I would read about what he went through, and I'd say, okay, if he could go through this,
right.
then I can make it through what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know?
I personally think we've done a terrible job of preserving history because I'm shocked at the amount of kids who don't know the legacy of Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it's crazy, but I don't think that's an accident. I mean, I think the kids that need to know about Ali need to be told about Ali from their parents, not from the school system. The school system pretty much consistently proves to us that it's inadequate. Mm. You know, especially black and brown kids. It destroys more of those children than it actually strengthens and builds up. So we have to start looking at the truth, looking at the message, and realizing that educating our kids is our job, not somebody else.
What did you think about Piers Morgan's remarks about Muhammad Ali?
Ali said just as inflammatory things about white people as Donald Trump has said about Muslims.
Piers Morgan is just, you know, he's a tacky white guy.
He's a troll.
You know, he's going to say that. And a lot of people said that. I mean, Piers Morgan is really being honest. I mean, back when Ali was really Ali, the Ali that we knew, the one that made him great, most of these folks that praise him today did not like him back then, would not have liked him back then. Mm-hmm. You know, if you love this man so much, why were you trying to put him in prison? Why'd you destroy him at the peak of his career? Yeah. Take all his money, ruin his life. You know, so I'm kind of curious about this idea that somehow he's been morphed into this American hero. But again, I think it's correlated with the fact that that he became this lovable, cuddly character when he couldn't speak anymore.
Now, you know what I wanted to ask you about this Roots remake? There was a lot of controversy over that. You saw the History Channel. Some people were saying, don't watch this movie. You know, Snoop Dogg was very vocal about it. I have a lot of friends that saw it. They said it was great. I watched a little bit of it. I haven't watched the whole series yet. Do you think that Roots remake was a great idea?
You know, I think knowing that part of history is important. You know, I don't have a problem with the Roots remake per se, but I do have a problem with the fact that Hollywood seems very eager to greenlight slave movies.
Absolutely.
Right? That's the problem, right? So it's not so much a matter of that type of content shouldn't be available. You shouldn't say that, but it's like, where's the diversity, right? Because actually, I'm working with your best buddy, Dame Dash.
And Envy's best buddy.
Oh, Envy's best buddy. Envy, you guys' best buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and we actually, just wrapped on a couple of TV shows, one called Steel Justice about a black attorney named Marcus Steele. Claudia Jordan's in it, and another, you know, sitcom with Nicole Murphy and some other people and Miguel Nunez. And so our goal really was to say, okay, we don't like the stories that are being told. Let's see if we can tell better stories.
I mean, that's what Nate Parker did. Nate Parker, $7 million he raised to shoot the Birth of a Nation in that Turner movie.
Yeah.
Look now, it's coming out.
All right, we got more with Dr. Boyce Watkins when we come back. Let's get into Drake. It's One Dance. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Exchange, Bryson Tiller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Dr. Boyce Watkins in the building. The last time you were up here, you were talking about FU money.
Mm.
People always email me, DM me about investments and how they can make more money. You're the financial guy when you come up here and you usually help a lot of people. What can people be doing with their money or how should they be saving?
Well, we live in a country where people don't save. Mm-hmm. And you have to save your money so your money can save you. The thing that we have to also understand about saving is that saving will not make you rich, typically. Saving will give you security.
Right.
So saving it prepares you for the next step, which is investing, which actually grows your money. So it's almost like saving is cocking the gun and investing is squeezing the trigger.
Right.
So ultimately, what I say to people is that you shouldn't believe that saving is not something that you can do. We tend to find a way to afford the things that matter to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'll hear people say, I can't afford it when it comes to either saving or maybe buying education or paying for a book. But then you rarely hear people say, I can't afford it when it comes to buying, you know, some expensive sneakers or going to a movie, right? Or going to the club or whatever it is, right? So we tend to pay for the things we want and beg for the things we need, right? And so what I say to people is that your savings should not be at the bottom of your budget, should be at the top. You don't spend first, save, and save what's left. You save first and spend what's left. Then at that point, you let it grow slowly, then you start investing. At the blackbusinessschool.com, which is where I teach, we have about 20,000 students actually now. And the first thing we do is we teach them how to buy your first share of stock. Investing in the stock market is not just for rich people.
Uh-huh.
It's not just for white people. Anybody can do it. It's like buying a pair of shoes. And so within 10 minutes, we show them and it demystifies the process. And then we do the math. And I explain, for example, that if you, let's say you have a newborn baby and you buy $100 worth of stock for your newborn baby every year up until they're 30, 40 years old, then by the time that child is 30, they'll have at least like $250,000. Even if you just randomly pick stocks, the studies show this. And then by the time they're 40, you know, they'll be close to being a millionaire.
You know, the problem is a lot of times, and I don't tell people because I hate messing with people's money. People don't know what to do. They're not educated in what stocks to buy.
It's a lack of information.
But they always ask, what stock should I buy? And I never want to tell somebody. So
because if it doesn't work out, they're going to be looking at you.
I always tell people I invest in stocks that I use or that I see my kids using. You know, but people always want to know, what stocks should I go at? Where should I invest my money? What would you tell people?
Well, I'm with you on that. You see, the thing is that, you know, when I was working on my doctorate, one of the things that we studied deeply was the fact that what stock you pick is not always an important thing, because it's very hard to predict the stock market. Although people make money saying they can predict it, some people think, a lot of experts think it's almost like voodoo. It's like a voodoo, almost like a superstition kind of thing. Mm-hmm. For example, if you take the top 10 mutual fund money managers of 1 year and you look at their performance the next year, most of those people are not in the top 10 the next year. So another example, they did a study where they had monkeys throw darts at a wall. They put the names of companies on the wall. And so if it landed on Nike, you bought shares of Nike. If it landed on IBM, you bought shares of IBM. So they compared the performance of this group of stocks picked by the monkeys, and they compared it to the best experts on Wall Street. The monkeys won. The monkeys won. The monkeys won half the time. Like a coin toss.
Because the monkeys not overthinking it.
Right, exactly.
Well, humans overthink it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated. And now, if you want to make it complicated, you can. But the thing is, I keep it simple in the beginning so that people will just jump in.
Do you recommend that people get a stockbroker or try to do that, or do it on their own?
I don't think you need that. I would get, maybe some investment advice, which you can get online for very cheaply, to just kind of know how to invest based on your age. You know, older people have to invest a little differently from younger people. But, generally speaking, when I'm picking stocks, I just try to diversify. That's the idea. Spread your money out.
Right.
And don't just spread
diversify
it out amongst
your bonds.
Yeah. So don't just spread out amongst stocks and bonds, but also you go into real estate, small businesses. In fact, some of the best investment opportunities I've seen have actually been businesses in the hood, because the black community especially is severely undercapitalized. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of people with great ideas who need $2,000 or $3,000 to get off the ground. You turn that $2,000 or $3,000 into a lot of money.
Yeah, get a black business, just put Chinese workers there.
Hey.
Because black people don't like to support their own.
That is definitely not true. I support black businesses.
You know my father
all the time.
I do too, but you know my father always tells me, if you open up a business, don't put your name on it. And black people will hate on it just because.
That's true a lot of times.
You got people to think that way, and we're working real hard to try to change that. I know
a lot of things I do, I purposely try to make sure I hire black people. Like, I got my closets done in my house. I hired a black company. Even for us opening the juice bar that we're opening in Brooklyn and Best Buy, we're going to make sure everybody knows that we're behind it, because I feel like people will come out and support it. Even all the places that I go out to eat, they're all black owned.
Well, you know what? I think that can change. I think it is changing. I think with every year... See, the internet is a big game changer in a lot of things, the sharing of ideas, in economic activity, et cetera, because what you're seeing is that with each passing year, people gain that awareness and understanding. And the awareness is the first step toward changing your behavior, right? So ultimately, what I'm seeing is there are a lot of folks that are looking to buy black, and it's also important to make sure people understand the importance of that, because your money's your power, and you can't give all your power away. You know, other ethnic groups understand this. They understand what you might call economic protectionism. You know, they know that we have to spend our money with each other as a way to protect ourselves from mistreatment from other people. Asians do it. The Jewish community, their ownership of things is their way to protect themselves from the next Holocaust. And so if you look at black people in America, we've had pretty much at least four Holocausts in this country: slavery, Jim Crow, mass incarceration. Then you can go back even to the Middle Passage. Well, the next Holocaust is on its way. You know, so my idea is that we have to think about ownership, building, creating, protecting each other, supporting black business. And not everybody's on board. Not every slave wants to run away from the plantation.
That's true.
Right? And not everybody's meant to be a soldier in this game, but I think it just takes a few good people to kind of make it happen. In fact, one of the things I talk about as far as kids, for example, remember, we're in an intergenerational game. Wealth is built across generations. It doesn't happen in 5 or 10 years, right? So what I tell people is that, look, if we could train, say, 50 to 100,000 black children on the basics of financial literacy, entrepreneurship, wealth creation, knowing they don't have to work for somebody in order to get rich, things like that, then what'll happen is that 50,000 will employ the next 50 million. Because the black unemployment problem is not going to be solved by getting more white people to give us jobs, for example.
Right.
It's going to be solved by building more businesses in our communities, because all studies show that people tend to hire people that look like them.
Product has to be quality, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just buy black just because the person is black. Like, it has to be up to par.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one of the silliest things anybody could say is, I don't support black businesses because they do this, this, and this. But there are thousands and thousands of businesses out there, right? So if you don't like one black business, go find another one to support. Right. You can't write off a whole group of people because of what one company did.
And I think it's important for us, when we go to these businesses and we get treated great and they have great products, to post about it, let people know about it, and encourage people to go there also.
Absolutely. Both ways, right? Mm-hmm. Positive reinforcement is very important. You have a relative, for example, that starts a business. Don't ask them for the hookup. Don't discourage them. You encourage them, you help them get access to resources, you buy from them, you support them, you make investments, you do what you can to make sure they succeed. Because I believe that every black family should have a family business. I really believe that. But on the other tip, in terms of criticism, right? Because all of us have gone into a black business that disappointed us.
Right.
I believe that all that criticism should be constructive. You know, like, I want to help you. I may not come back, but right. I want to help make your business better. And here's some things you could do better. You know, many of us are first generation entrepreneurs. You know, even myself. I mean, I didn't grow up in a family where people were taught to start businesses.
You're figuring it out.
Yeah, I was told you go to school, get a good job, and that's it. You know, as I got older, I realized that was a dead end path. So I had to figure out other ways to make it work.
All right, well, we got more with Dr. Boyce Watkins. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Dilemma, Nelly, Kelly Rowland. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Dr. Boyce Watkins in the building helping you out with all your finances. Now, Charlamagne?
You talk about the new Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. You think we could ever create that again?
Yes. In fact, I believe that it's already being created. What led to these people creating one of the most prosperous communities at that time? I mean, they had hundreds and hundreds of businesses. They were doing better than the communities around them. And what I found is that people talk about building a Black Wall Street. They're usually thinking about something big and massive, something that costs billions of dollars. And that's kind of daunting, kind of overwhelming. I know I don't have billions of dollars. But the thing is, you can have Black Wall Streets that are built on technology. For example, we're not broken down into geographic regions anymore. It's more so demographic regions. So if you're in China and you believe in what I believe, we can do business together, even though you're across the world. In this room, we could have a Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. If I'm buying from you and I'm investing in you and you're buying from him and we're supporting each other, we have each other's back, or I'll loan you money. I don't need to see your credit score because I know you. You know what I mean? Things like that. That's a Black Wall Street. So you can actually have a Black Wall Street in your own family.
And I always tell my friends, too, team up with other people. You don't have to try to figure out a way to do everything on your own. If you know somebody else who has some skills, or you have the skills and they have the finances and you can figure out how you can all come together, start a business, you should do that. A lot of people don't like to ask other people for help, or they feel like someone's going to steal their idea, or they don't want to give anything to anybody else. But sometimes it's worth it to do that so you can make it happen.
Absolutely. You know, in the Black Business School, that's what we call economic fortification. Find other people to roll with. They may not even be your own relatives. They may be people you meet online or whatever, because that community is what gives you the strength. So, in fact, if you think about it, you know, think about leaving. If you're a slave and you run away from the plantation and you know, go by yourself, you're in the woods by yourself, you don't know which way to go. You don't know how to get what, you know, your food, your clothing, your shelter. But imagine if you could go to a village where everybody had different skills. You had right. security. You had, you know.
Help you get on your feet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what it is. It's about creating a village. If you have that scenario in your life, then you can be successful.
Let's go back to Black Wall Street for a second. You know, when I first heard that story when I was a kid, I didn't believe it. Because I didn't believe somebody could do such a heinous act where you have this whole community doing for self and then they got bombed.
Well, explain to people what Black Wall Street is. I know I always say explain, but people might not know what Black Wall Street is.
Well, Black Wall Street was the Greenwood section of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Around 1921, you had a Black community that was really prosperous.
Banks, hospitals.
Yeah, there were six brothers that owned airplanes, like in 1921, right? Some of the best doctors in the world, et cetera. Basically, the white community around them got jealous, got a little pissed off, and went in there, and they were killing as many Black men as they could get their hands on, incarcerating the rest, ran everybody else out of town, and systematically went house to house, looted their houses, and burned them down. Mm. And then they covered
up. Was it true they were dropping gas canisters from the sky from
yes.
plane two?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. The American military actually bombed some of these houses, because the way they did, the way they sort of presented the story in the media was these Negroes are getting out of line and these brave white men are going to stop the chaos. Mm. And it was a story that was buried for 100 years. I mean, I was in that area. And there were kids there that didn't even know what happened right there on that same spot. Wow. And so I said, you know what, this is a story that every Black child in America needs to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the thing is that what bothers me about the story is not just what happened. It's the fact that that's the one we know about. It's like when a brother gets out of prison after 30 years for something he didn't do. Mm. I don't just think about the guy that got out.
Hundreds of others.
He's the lucky one,
people.
Right? I'm thinking about the thousands who couldn't get the attention of the Innocence
Project.
There
was a town in North Carolina. I can't remember what part of North Carolina that was.
Wilmington, I believe.
Yeah, and it was the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these stories happen consistently. And so when people have this conversation about reparations, it's kind of a no-brainer conversation. You steal somebody's stuff, you're supposed to give it back. There were multimillionaires in this community whose families are broke.
You posted on Facebook that if we could eradicate the culture, just switching topics, that if we could eradicate the culture of binge drinking, sexual assaults would drop overnight.
Absolutely.
Explain
absolutely. You know, I spent 13 years teaching at Syracuse University, where it seemed like we produced as many alcoholics as we produced college graduates. But I personally think that a lot of these sexual assaults that occur there's liquor in the background somewhere. It causes people to make decisions they normally wouldn't make. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it would eliminate all sexual assaults. I mean, rapists are going to be rapists, you know, if that's what they want to do. But at the same time, you know, when I talk to my girls, you know, we do have conversations about being cautious, you know, when it comes to alcohol.
That's very true, because some of the things that I've always done is if I'm out and I'm not around people that I trust or I'm not in a familiar environment, I don't get drunk, period. The only time I feel like, okay, I can overdo it is if I'm with a bunch of my friends and we're all looking out for each other and we all leave together.
Sounds like you have common sense. which is really not popular now. I mean, people want to think you can just do whatever you want and not have things happen to you. And I just tell my girls, like, look, I would love to go out and tell every rapist to not rape anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But it ain't going to work.
Right.
So I just tell them, you got to protect yourself. Just be
very cautious. Don't leave your drink unattended. Don't let somebody go get you a drink from the bar and hand it to you.
And you ain't got to have a good time. People got to realize that.
Right,
too.
You don't. No, but if somebody wants to buy you a drink, you go to the bar with them, order your drink, take your drink straight from whoever made the drink, and not let somebody bring it to you that you don't know.
You know, a lot of people like to say, oh, you're victim blaming when you put all the onus on the girl not to get drunk. A guy just shouldn't rape her.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that. You know, I raise my girls to have accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean that the world, the other people don't have to be accountable.
Right.
But I can't
control everybody's accountable.
Right.
But you just lessen the risk by doing certain things
and
Absolutely. Being careful yourself. That's all.
Yeah, it's about being smart.
Did you see what happened with Brock Turner, the Stanford University student accused of rape?
Yeah, I saw that.
You got 6 months?
Yeah, that's good for him. I mean, it's what white guys get to do, huh? I mean, it's clearly that that situation, you know, was a reflection of, you know, what happens in the judicial system, right? You know, I mean, there's nothing else really to say about it. I mean, it reminds me of the guy in Texas, a little kid who killed all those people, and they said he had affluenza or something like that. and it really reflects on yet another study I'm thinking about where they said actually that white people believe black people feel less pain. So they're less able to identify with black people's pain. So, for example, 30 people get killed in France, 40 people, whatever. It's a big deal. You know, 200-300 people get killed in Kenya. It's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Southside Chicago. We have dozens of shootings every single week. You don't really see people doing much about that because they kind of just say, well, that's what those people are used to.
Now, I wanted to ask you something else. This is a question that's been asked to me several times, and I don't really know the best way to answer something like this. There are single moms raising kids. They have a 9-to-5 job that they don't love, but they're doing it because they know they have responsibilities and they have passions that they want to follow in their life, but they're too frightened to leave their job because they have a family to support at home and follow their dreams where they don't know if it's going to work out or not. What type of advice would you give to a woman like that?
Well, the first thing I would say is that you can have a fear of things unknown and changing your life, but you should also fear living the same life over and over again until you grow old and die, and then regretting the fact that you never tried for anything different. Most older people will tell you that you're more likely to regret things that you didn't do than you are to regret things you did do. This idea of cooperative support can be very important, right? So if you find other people that are doing something similar to you, come together and you share the same dream, maybe educate yourself on what you think that next step should be. And if 4 of you are doing this together, or 5 of you are doing it together, it's not as scary. So, in fact, I've seen scenarios where 5 people got together where all of them had full-time jobs and 4 of them kept their job and 1 of them quit because that one person had the skill to actually start whatever business it was. The other 4 used their steady income from the job to be a funding source to build the business. So, ultimately, there are creative ways that you can actually do this. And I think for people of color, we have to be creative because studies show that banks don't loan us money the way they should. Government contracts don't come to us the way they should. You know, we're kind of neglected in so many ways, so we have to find ways to support each other. That might work. Work together as a group.
All right, well, we appreciate you for joining us.
Always.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Always great conversation when you come through. It's all the right. Breakfast Club. It's Dr. Boyce Watkins.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, looks like there's some lawsuit beef between Rocco and Future. Now, Future had signed to Rocco's A1 Recordings in 2011. He was supposed to do his first 6 albums. That's a lot of albums, by the way.
Well, most people sound a 6 album.
Yeah,
deal,
I'm sure.
They do
I'm
now
sure,
still.
I'm sure he got that with Epic, 5 to 6 easily.
Especially if he got a big check involved or some money about it.
All right, well, Epic signed on to distribute the albums, but here's the problem. According to Rocco, he says Future made some side deal with Epic, and so he's gotten cut out of a lot of money that's owed to him. All right, now, there's been a back and forth on Twitter. So Future said, my dog gave a statement. Real Street N-word went to the courthouse. How did it feel when you signed the papers? I don't want my N-word looking like no baby mama. Call them people and tell them you was just playing, Brody. Well, Rocco responded, old homie of mine once told me just let the lawyers handle it. Lord knows I haven't seen a courthouse in ages. That's what lawyers are for.
I understand where Future's coming from, but I understand where Rocco's coming from as well. See, the problem is Future's talking about Real Street, N-word, and this and that. Once y'all do them contracts with these major corporations, this is business,
this
baby.
This is business, bro. This has nothing to do with street stuff.
And let's talk about
business.
How much money they're saying is on the line. According to Rocco, he says Future owes him more than $10 million.
All right, well, guess what? If it's just street stuff, go in your closet, Future, and give me that shoe box and see if you got $10 million in cash in the shoebox. I don't think you do. So we got to handle this the corporate way. I'm sorry.
Woo, yes.
I mean, you would think that they would be better than that because they're family and all that, but hey, man.
I don't think
they've
really been family for a long time now. You know, it's one of those things you sign to somebody, you feel
that's
they're not
bro.
Doing their job, that's your bro now. But you don't feel like
business,
they're doing
man.
Their job, it's not your bro no more, and now things got to be handled in court.
Business is business, bro, bro.
I mean, that's a lot of money to just say, you know what, I'm going to just let it go.
Hey,
no way.
Business is business, Rocco. I see you, bro. I get it.
So we'll see what happens, but I will say this. I know a lot of times with lawyers, there's a lot of loopholes and ways to get around contracts. So it seems like the problem might be with Epic Records more than anything. If
I was thinking that, too. I'm like, why wouldn't you just sue Epic?
If they did a side deal, it seems like the label should be responsible.
Absolutely.
More than anybody else. Hey. The label should be paying you. If he signed to the label through him.
The check should go from Epic to Rocco, and then Rocco should be
that's
paying Future. That's how it should go if he signed
however
Rocco.
It goes, if Rocco's owed some money, Rocco needs to get his money. Sorry.
All right. Well, now let's talk about another lawsuit. Ed Sheeran is being sued, and that is for his song Photograph. Now, let me see this, okay? If these two songs sound too much alike to you, go ahead, Q, hit it.
So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone.
You like that? All right, now see if that sounds like this song.
How did you find me? I came out of nowhere like lightning. It's kind of amazing how you found me through all the noise somehow.
Now, if you're a lawyer, are these songs too much alike? One song was written for X Factor Season 7 winner Matt Cardle. That song was Ed Sheeran's Photograph.
I don't think
totally
so.
Totally different to me, bub, bro.
All right. Well, the songwriters, however, hired the same attorneys that won a $7.4 million judgment against Robin Thicke and Pharrell for Blurred Lines. So they want to get $20 million in damages for that.
Now, that's totally different. Those two sounded the same. That
hey, you can sue for anything nowadays, huh?
You can try to sue anything.
Jesus Christ, man. Mm-hmm. Where are these frivolous lawsuits coming from?
All right, and last but not least, Beyonce. What did she do last night that had people going crazy?
Sue Jay-Z
online.
For something.
Well, Beyonce's getting sued also, by the way. I don't know if you saw
for what?
You did you see that, too?
No, I didn't see that.
All right, well, you know what?
Come
we'll
on,
just keep
man.
It with all the lawsuits. Beyonce's getting sued, and that is for Lemonade. All right, apparently somebody is saying that she stole
don't tell me
idea.
Minute Maid is suing Beyonce.
No,
Country Time suing Beyonce?
No. It's for the actual trailer. This other person said that they have a trailer and Lemonade stole bits and pieces from their movie. But we'll get more into that in a minute. But
we don't have to.
What did she do last night?
She sneezed while she was performing on the Formation tour.
Rumor report just jumped
to sharp. Everybody went absolutely crazy. You know what happened? Everybody chimed in all at once and said, bless you. Like the whole entire audience when Beyonce sneezed.
Why is that news?
All at one time.
Come on, man. Now listen.
And then listen, it was trending on Twitter yesterday. That's why I'm telling you this. People went so crazy because that was like, oh my God, Beyonce's a human being. She sneezes just like us.
All right, all y'all got too much time on your hands. This is the kind of thing that you make jokes about and you'd be like, yo,
it's
if Beyonce sneezed, it'd be news. No, if Beyonce
really
sneezed, it's really news.
It was
really this is ridiculous. Y'all all need to get a life.
Beyonce sneezed.
Like, what would make you think Beyonce doesn't
imagine
sneeze?
Imagine if Beyonce farted.
She does that too. Crazy. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but she does that
no,
too.
No, she doesn't.
Okay. I'm sure she does.
All right.
Well,
all
that
right,
is your
guys.
Rumor report on Angela
okay.
Yee.
All right. Thank all you, right. Miss Yee. Charlamagne! Yes. We're giving a donkey too.
Donkey today is going to a young man in Albuquerque, New Mexico, named Reuben Cook. Now, I always tell people that when you go through adversity, the one thing you shouldn't do is hurt yourself. Okay? Because adversity don't last. But we'll talk about it for after the hour.
All right. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Thursday, June 9th goes to an Albuquerque, New Mexico man named Reuben Cook. A very appropriate last name, being that Reuben tried to fry everything in his apartment. Now, we all handle adversity different in life. The one thing I always tell people when going through any type of adversity is don't hurt yourself. I say that because whatever is going on in your world, whatever is going on around you, you as an individual can personally get through, but you don't want to get hurt. You know, in the process, you don't want to hurt yourself in the process, because when the smoke clears, you still personally need to be standing strong. Well, Reuben Cook isn't buying what I'm selling, because Reuben had a little adversity and he tried to burn his own crib down. Literally. See, Reuben Cook lives in an apartment in Albuquerque, and he told police he tried to burn anything he could think of in his apartment because he was trying to escape the loud noises his neighbors were making. Now, before I tell you what the noises were, I just want to say to you, Reuben Cook was charged with arson. He went to jail because instead of standing up in the face of adversity, he decided to be a coward and burn his apartment down as if that was going to change anything. Now, why did Reuben Cook set fire to his own apartment, huh? Why? Because he was trying to escape the sounds of his neighbors having sex. Yes. Yeah. That's all. Reuben Cook is in jail right now because he set fire to his own apartment because he was trying to escape the sounds of his neighbors having sex. I keep telling y'all that we have to. It's imperative that we give people the credit they deserve for being stupid. We walk around this earth, and if you have common sense and a sane mind, you just assume everybody else around you has a sane mind too. No! That's not usually the case, and this situation right here with Reuben Cook proves my point. Reuben Cook told police he heard people having sex upstairs, and he decided he wanted to go to prison to get away from the noise. So not only did he try to burn his own apartment down, he told police he'd rather be in prison to get away from the noise. Where is Jesus when you need him? And why are people like this just free to roam the earth? Now, if I'm sitting at home and I hear someone having sex, that's going to make me horny immediately. I'm going to want to have sex. It's like a challenge. It's like, oh, I hear you, player. Now watch how I make this chick sound when she come over to the crib, okay? But no, Reuben Cook, you hear sex sounds and you say to yourself, I can't stand the sound of that. I want to go to prison. You do know you can hear those same sounds in prison, okay? And if you slip up in the shower, you might be the one making them, all right? It happens. I just don't understand why if you hear someone making noise in an apartment, whether sex or not, do one of three things not come to your mind, okay? You can either do one of three things in this situation. Go and knock on their door and tell them keep it down. Go to the landlord and complain to him to tell them to keep it down. Or three, simply leave. Go for a walk around Walmart. Go to the gym. Go get a donut from Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'. I can think of a million places I would rather go to escape noisy neighbors having sex than prison. And I'm damn sure not going to burn my own place down to make the noise stop. What is that going to accomplish? Some donkey today just saw themselves. Can we please give the neighbors a smooth tune to smash to and give Reuben Cook a smooth tune to watch his apartment burn down to, please?
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day. Hee-haw.
Wow.
All right.
Those sex noises were a little creepy.
Seems like they were having a good time.
Not really.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Hey, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, up next is Ask Ye. If you need advice, relationship advice, or even sex advice, call Ye right now.
Even
800-585-1051. She'll help you out with all your problems. So call her up right now. She'll put you live on the air and fix your problems. 800-585-1051. Oh, here's Tory Lanez. Say it. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Missy Elliott. Get your freak on. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Now, if you need relationship advice, any type of advice or whatever, call her right now. She'll help you with your problems. Hello, who's this?
Andrew from North New Jersey.
Andrew, what's your question for Yee?
I want to ask her, has she ever had 69 before? And how was it?
Why? Is that what you
want to
do?
I don't really know if that's an advice question. Are you asking me that you want to do a 69 and you don't know how to do it? Or what's the advice?
Today is National Sex Day, by the way.
I know it is. Because it's June 9th.
As a woman's perspective, would you rather 69 or, like, what is the best advice?
I mean, it just depends on who you are, obviously, and how good the person is at what they're doing. But I personally prefer to go one at a time. I'm not really a 69 type of person.
Oh, okay. I'm bad.
I like to concentrate on giving or taking.
I want to ask my girlfriend to eat my ass, but I'm afraid to
Ah, my brother. Drop one of clues bombs for my good brother here. You know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to fart in a woman's face.
Don't do that.
Ahead. You want to ask her, but what's the problem?
Yeah, but I'm afraid. You know, I want to ask her, but to keep it 100 with you, 50 plus 50, I'm afraid I'm going to end up on the donkey today.
No, you won't. I would never judge you for that, sir.
Okay, well, first of all, Charlamagne's gotten his done, so it's fine. He's not going to give you donkey today.
Not
going to
judge you for that.
So you've never asked her about it?
I've never asked her. I mean, I've hinted at it. You know, I've got a lot of whipped cream laying around the house. Shout out to Kevin Gates, though.
Okay. I suggest...
What the hell Kevin Gates got to do with this, man?
He talks about it all the time.
Yeah, he talks about it a lot. What I would suggest you do is... there's a couple of ways you go about this. Your girlfriend, for real, and y'all love and trust each other. You should be able to be like, you know, I always wanted to try that and just to see what it feels like. Nothing wrong with that, right? If she's down, she's down. Or when she's down, they're already performing oral on you. You could just kind of push up a little bit. And just get her head in that location, in that general vicinity, and be like, a little further.
Or you could just play a game of whatever I do to you, you do to me.
I've tried that, said no.
Yeah, she'd probably be like, no.
You could always play Sexual Simon Says as well.
Oh, dude, that sounds good.
There you go. Simon Says. Sexual Simon Says.
That's the same thing as a
Simon
game.
Simon Says, sodomize me with your tongue.
Anyway. All right, hope you get it popping.
All right, thanks,
Angelique. Good luck, man. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. You can ask her whatever you need. Maybe you want to get your anus licked, whatever it may be. Call Angelique Yee now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was J. Cole with Wet Dreams. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yo, my name's
D. Oh, boy. All right, what's your question for Yee?
My girlfriend was over the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching the basketball game.
Okay.
I get a text message, and she grabs the phone. I don't have a problem with her looking at my phone, but this is the thing. I've never looked at her phone. I feel like if you go looking for stuff, you're going to find it. I took her phone in the bathroom. I didn't know her code. First text I put in, I see mad penis pictures.
Whoa.
Like four penis pictures, back to back, back to back.
But she's gay, right?
Yeah, she's gay. She's supposedly. We've been dating for like the last 6 months.
Okay, all right.
So, come out the bathroom, threw the phone out. I just told her to get out. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not letting me explain. What is there to explain when there's five penis pictures in your phone? Like, you're gay. I don't understand. So now she's saying, like, I don't want to break up with you. You didn't even bother to read the text. I want to know what I need to do.
Okay, first of all, what made her pick up your phone and go through it at all in the first place? Is there something that you've been doing that she doesn't trust you?
No,
have y'all been having issues?
Not at all.
So she probably is feeling guilty.
With her looking through my phone.
She's probably feeling guilty about what she's doing and thinking that you must be doing something also. And that's what made her look through your phone. So that's already suspicious.
Right.
Then when you grabbed her phone to look through it, you didn't see what the person wrote. You just saw people were sending her penis pictures.
It was conversation on top of conversation on top of penis pic.
Like what type of conversation?
On top of conversation, I was living. And this is the messy part, Yee. The dude who's sending the penis pictures works with us.
Ooh.
He works with us.
That's disrespectful.
So not only do I have to go to work every day, I have to look at this dude in his face knowing, okay, he's sending my girl.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, do I stay? Do I leave?
It sounds like y'all don't trust each other. And trust is one of the most important things that you can have in a relationship. Clearly, you don't trust her. Now, you can hear her out if you choose to, but in your heart, what do you know? What is your intuition telling you?
I mean, she's not really gay. Again, I didn't bother to read the text. She's saying, like, you didn't read the text. You should have saw him. Me telling him, I didn't want to see that. Why are you sending me this? But you didn't tell him to stop. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? If you would have told him to stop, it would only been one picture.
So what is she saying is said in the text? He's sending penis pictures, and she was just saying what?
You know, I got a girlfriend. This is what she said that I didn't read.
And I also feel like if that was really happening, like she said, she should have told you about it.
True.
If some guy randomly that you both know and work with is sending penis pictures, she should have been like, listen, why is this dude at work such and such sending these pictures of his penis?
Right.
I had to shut him down and let him know. Now, I will say it's not, if you feel like it's worth it for you to hear her out and hear what she has to say, you can easily find out what's really going on because y'all work together. You can ask him. I don't know if he's going to lie or tell the truth, but you should maybe see what those text messages say. But it's just hard when y'all are going through each other's phones. That's never a great situation. If you feel like you
right.
have to do that, it usually means, you know, something's wrong with your relationship. If you feel like I need to go through your phone and see what's happening.
Right.
You think okay. you would ever trust her again?
That's a good question. I mean, if I do, it's definitely going to take time. Like I said, I didn't have anything to hide. She went through my phone freely, you
right.
know?
Well, I say this. Take your time because there's no rush to make a decision right now. Sometimes what comes to light, you know, just comes on its own later on because you can't hide everything forever. I would say, you know, give her the respect to hear her out and hear what she has to say. Seems like she wanted these penis pictures to be sent because nobody just randomly keeps on sending them, especially somebody you know that you work with.
Right.
You know, let her know what she needs to do in order to regain your trust back, if that's even possible. And it's on you now. If you feel like you could trust her again, hey, you know, go for it. Take your time. If you don't, too bad. She lost out.
Man, girl, you better go buy a lambskin dildo and do what you got to do. You know what she wants. She wants some penetration, girl.
I appreciate that. Thank y'all.
All no problem.
She just ignored you.
Yeah.
And she know what it is.
800-585-1051. You got rumors coming up?
Yes, I know. I told you earlier about this lawsuit against Beyonce, so I'll give you some more information on what's going on with that. Also, we'll talk about buying houses. We'll tell you what rapper and what athlete just bought some brand new houses and how much they paid for them.
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Floyd Mayweather just went ahead and bought a $7.7 million mansion in Miami. And guess what? He paid it all in cash. It's a 5,200 square foot mansion. So that's right on the dock of the Miami Ocean.
He should. You know how stupid Floyd Mayweather would look with a mortgage? All that damn money he got. You can't be Floyd Mortgage Mayweather and you worth half a billy.
All right, and Young Jeezy also just bought a new house, too. Now, this house is in
Jeezy
Atlanta.
Jeezy got a steal on mortgage. That one. He got a steal. He paid this in cash, too. He got a steal on this one.
Well, he paid $685,000 for this house.
Oh, Jeezy got that.
It's below the asking price, and it looks actually pretty nice. It looks like it needs some work.
Jeezy bought that in cash, too?
I don't know. But he already has another house right outside of the city, so... Now he has a house inside of Atlanta. It has fireplaces, a two-car garage, mm-hmm. three bedrooms, four and a half baths, and it has a rooftop deck. So
okay.
It looks pretty nice. And it looks like he got it for a great deal. It was a foreclosure.
Yeah, he got it for a steal.
Columbus Short is going to be in jail. Now, you know, he was in prison already for a few days, and he had to go to court. And that's for a progress report. Now he has 6 months along with his jail sentence in a residential drug treatment program, and he has to go to jail for 30 days. So he was already there for 6 days. He has 24 more days to do. He violated his probation from his assault case. He could not stop smoking marijuana. All right, Beyonce, we told you about her getting sued. Now, a filmmaker is saying that Beyonce's visuals for the Lemonade album is actually from his movie, his short film, Palinoia.
Oh, shut up.
He's suing Beyonce and the record label. He said they completely ripped off his short film. The project also depicted a tumultuous relationship. And he said the beef is really over 39 seconds of the trailer, which have a lot of images that are similar to his movie. Now, I took a look at it. I don't know about this. Doesn't seem like he has too much of a case, but he says he knows a senior VP at Columbia Music, which is her label, and that senior VP did see the movie sometime in 2015, and he thinks the executive stole his ideas for Lemonade. But I don't think the executive directed the movie, so no. I don't even understand how that could be. By the way, Beyonce's Lemonade went platinum.
Congrats. I'm sure it did. I'm so tired of frivolous lawsuits, man. Like, yo, stop. Why do people just get to sue people?
Because they can.
I can't wait till I get to sue somebody.
Somebody want
to
come up, and they hope you'll just settle and say, here's some money. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but Nick Young was tweeting out, I feel a way. I had to let go of us to see what I can do. I tried with you.
Well, at least he ain't suing. Okay, I'd rather you send out a few tweets than just jump out the window and sue. Remember when Sue was just a name for an innocent little white woman?
So I don't know if that means that him and Iggy Azalea have broken up, but All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, shout out to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, worldwide exclusive, the world premiere of Usher's new song. It's called No Limit. It's featuring Young Thug. Check it out. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.